sponsored by the CME Group. Dateline Scottsdale, Arizona, Friday, December 30. Hello, everyone. Along with Max Armstrong, generally during the year, I'm Orion Samuelson, sitting in the driver's seat for this final broadcast of the year 2016, as we again take a look at Wall Street and commodities, including agriculture and metals and oil, all of the other items that we touch on throughout the year here on the markets. And we appreciate very much your company. My greeting for the new year is have a healthy new year, because at my stage in life, if you're healthy, you're happy. So I'll just substitute healthy for happy. So where do we start? Well, we start with Wall Street, and here we are at the end of the trading day, the end of a trading week, the end of a trading month, the end of a trading quarter, and the end of a trading year. So let's give you the comparisons on all of those before we do anything else. For the week, the Dow down 0.8%, the S&P 500 down 1.1%, the NASDAQ down 1.5%. For the month of December, the Dow higher, up 3.4%, the S&P 500 gained 1.8%, the NASDAQ advanced 1.1%. And then we look at the quarter, which ended today. For the quarter, the Dow up 8%. The S&P up 3.3%, and the NASDAQ gained 1.3%. And then for the year, the Dow gained 13.4%, the S&P 500 climbed 9.5%, and the NASDAQ rose 7.5%. But today, the final trading day of the year, the stock market was lower and led down by Apple and other big tech stocks, but the major indices posting pretty solid gains for the year 2016. Some of the other activity that we looked at today, the Dow slipping further from the 20,000 milestone. It came within 13 points of that mark last week, but did not break through, and then we have watched it back away on the closing days of the trading year. Apple shares down 0.8% today after a report the company will trim iPhone construction, and shares of Apple suppliers such as Cirrus Logic and Qualcomm also declined, and tech was the worst performing major S&P sector today, falling 1%. Big tech names such as Microsoft and Alphabet, Google slumped more than 1%. So let's take a look at what's ahead when we start trading again next Tuesday. After the late year rally, fueled by the election, pushed stocks to surprising new peaks, investors are probably going into the New Year's weekend a little wary that the market could be primed for a sell-off to start 2017. The reflecting renewed bullishness for stocks, U.S.-based stock funds pulled in $11.8 billion in the week ending December 28th. But investors are also seeing several warning signs for the new year, including stocks at traditionally expensive valuations, investors registering particularly bullish sentiment, and the Federal Reserve now primed to raise interest rates maybe several times this coming year. Meanwhile, a market lifted in part by hopes for Trump's policy agenda could be deflated, because should any of those hopes be dented once he begins in office on January 20th, then we could see a retrenchment of Wall Street. The S&P rallied more than 5% since Election Day, and the Dow climbed by more than 8%. But January has proved to be a difficult month for stocks in recent years. The S&P 500 fell at least 3% in each January of 2014, 15, and 16. And have you forgotten? The beginning of this year, just ending 2016, was marked by the worst 10-day start ever for the S&P, plagued by worries about a rout in commodities, a China slowdown, and a potentially over-aggressive Fed after it hiked interest rates for the first time last December. That was the first time since 2008. President-elect Trump takes office on the 20th of January, so investors will begin to assess how easily the new administration will be able to fulfill its reflationary policies that were anticipated in the wake of the election, and that helped drive the end-of-year rally. So let's take a look at some of the other commodities. Gold, for example. Gold prices were lower today as gains from a weak dollar were offset by profit-taking at the end of a year in which gold bullion gained more than 8%, and that snapped 3 years of declines in the gold market. Gold prices fell more than 8% in November on higher U.S. Treasury yields after Donald Trump's election win led to speculation that his commitment to infrastructure spending could spur the growth. And then let's take a look at another important commodity for all of us, farmers and non-farmers alike, oil. Oil prices settled slightly lower today, the year's last trading day, but attained their biggest annual gain for oil prices since 2009. This coming after OPEC and non-OPEC partners agreed they would cut output to reduce a supply overhang that has depressed prices for 2 years. A two-rig rise in the oil rig count in the United States, the ninth weekly increase in a row, as reported by oil field services provider Baker Hughes, added to bearish sentiments for the week. But the total count of 525 for the week, the last for the year, still below last year's level by 11 rigs. So, benchmark U.S. crude, West Texas Intermediate crude futures were down 5 cents for the day, $53.72 a barrel. But for the year, Brent crude oil rose 52%, and West Texas U.S. crude climbed about 45%, the largest annual gain since 2009 when the benchmarks rose above $100 a barrel. And so now it'll be interesting to see, and traders and analysts will be watching to see if the cutback in production agreement that was reached late in the year will continue into the new year. Never quite sure of that with the oil industry and the ups and downs in sentiment that we have found in the oil industry over the years. The holiday shopping season, well, apparently retailers thought it was pretty good. Amazon.com particularly. Amazon.com said it had its best ever holidays season, shipping more than 1 billion, that's with a B, 1 billion items worldwide through its Prime membership program. Sales of Echo devices controlled by Amazon's Alexa cloud-based system were 9 times more than last year's holiday season. More than 72% of Amazon's customers worldwide shop through mobile devices. That, according to the company, and the company also said December 19th was the busiest shopping day this holiday season. And maybe adding to that was the fact that U.S. consumer confidence moved to its highest level in more than 15 years this month of December. Americans saw more strength ahead in business conditions, stock prices, and the job market following the election of Donald Trump. House prices continued their steady recovery in October, although a spike in borrowing costs after the election could present a headwind to sustained home value gains. But the conference board said on Tuesday the consumer confidence index rose to 113.7 this month, up from an upwardly revised 109.4 in November. And taking a look at what could happen to the housing industry, there is some concern that the increase in interest rates could slow down the housing activity. On the other hand, it said it could speed it up as people take a look at buying homes before there are more interest rate increases coming into the marketplace. And home prices rose year over year. Pretty good numbers in that. The U.S. October 20th or 20 metro area home prices up 5.1% from a year ago. And that shows continued activity in single family home price increases for the year. And certainly the recovery in housing has been a pretty good situation. I'm coming to you from Arizona, where they were really oversupplied with inventory and home prices plunged in the last 4 or 5 years. Now, there are bidding wars for property here in the Valley of the Sun, another indication that the housing market continues to show strength. What about commodities? Well, we'll discuss commodities when we continue on The Market, sponsored by the CME Group.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
On this last weekend of 2016, we talk markets with Paul Giorgi. He is the president of Allendale, based in McHenry, Illinois, and we talk to Paul frequently throughout the year because of his knowledge of markets in the U.S. and worldwide. First of all, Paul, a happy new year to you, and I hope it's a little better year ahead for producers.
Well, I hope so, too. It's, I think it promises to be a pretty exciting year ahead. We've got some hurdles to get over with supply and the demand situation in grains, but I think in all there it's going to pan out to be a pretty good year for the people that are astute marketers.
I have said this a couple of times coming to the end of the year that the most unusual thing I saw in the markets this year was a soybean weather rally in June. I had never seen that in all my years of covering the market. Were there any remembering moments for you?
Well, I think that certainly was a surprise. And when we look back on that rally in soybeans that we had in June, it was a lot of money flow and funds buying and money coming into the grain markets. The other big thing that is a shocker to the markets that we've seen sharp moves in many markets was the presidential election that we've seen in November. And I think that probably was going to have a pretty good impact on us as we move forward here in 2017.
We don't have a new Secretary of Agriculture at this point. Are you looking for any major ag or trade surprises in the Trump administration?
Well, I don't think at this time to say you're not looking for any surprises, I think would be wrong, because I'm sure there's going to be some surprises. We've seen the surprises through the campaign and already putting his cabinet together. So there will be some surprises there, but I think agriculture may not be the focus. And I think with all surprises come excitement in the markets and causes prices to move up or down. We as producers and marketers are going to have to take advantage of those rally times that we see in the marketplace here in the next few months.
We have had several rallies, particularly in corn and soybeans. As a matter of fact, the one past the halfway mark of the year was a pretty good rally for both corn and beans, wasn't it?
It was a big rally. We were trading in a very small trading range up until that time, to that mid-June time frame. And within a month and a half period of time, we extended the range in corn to $1.38 and beans of over $3.50 during that period of time, which did give us some opportunity to make some sales. And I think that was you know, hopefully we have that kind of activity again this year. And I think that's what the producers are, that we talk to anyway, are certainly looking for. They're looking for that big surge in price that they can make some sales on.
But I have found over the years, when that does happen, they tend to not sell because it'll be 10 cents higher tomorrow, and then they'll lose all that money. Are they getting a little bit more disciplined in marketing?
Well, I think we're going to see more discipline now, and I think that's the, as I look forward into 2017, Ori, and I'm looking at two different markets. I think the first half of the year we're going to be in a demand-driven type market where if we get rallies, the supply is going to be there. Now we've got to create that demand, and the market will sell off. We will get some demand, some export business, and usage. So it's going to be a back-and-forth type market as we work through the large supplies that we've got. We've got known supplies right now, which the market usually acts on unknown things that that happen. So the supply is there. So the demand is going to be the feature the first part of our marketing year. And then, of course, it's going to be supply that's going to be affected by weather and number of acres planted, you know, what kind of yields we're going to have and things like that. So looking for a kind of a dull sideways market in the first part of this 2017 marketing year.
We can't talk markets without bringing up China. About a year ago, we were talking about sales to China were certainly going to back away, and it really didn't happen. What's your analysis of the current situation, not politically, but trade-wise with China?
Well, I think the hard part there is the political effect of trade with China. I'm in the belief that China has created a lot of demand and went out there and buying a lot of soybeans, especially from the U.S., to fill their immediate needs. And now they can go here after the first of the year. We're going to start harvesting already in Brazil by probably the middle of January. So that will open up a lot of a market down there. And they've, in our analysis that we've done here, suggest that they've bought enough from us to meet the portion or the split that normally would occur. So, you know, they could very easily back away from us. They've done this maybe for political reasons that they want to get it bought ahead of the new presidential leadership. So, you know, there's some things that will have to be worked out where they can back away. I think another reason is their hog industry has been gaining a lot of attention, and they have increased hog production dramatically, especially during and far this time of year when their New Year's celebration starts on January 28th. They consume about 10% of their yearly consumption of pork during this 1 week period of time. So it is it's an impact from China. It's always going to be there, and we're going to have to watch it very closely. But you know, there could be some major changes come that hopefully it will be good for our agricultural exports rather than negative.
You don't often hear the term glut in Chinese agriculture, but I'm hearing all about the corn glut and that they've got to get rid of some of their supply.
Well, that is very true, and they've trying to figure out how to do that and continue production and you know, when the government is holding all this grain, they've got to figure out how to release it and not ruin their whole agricultural economy, and it's become quite a challenge for them. And you know, we understand there's a lot of that corn that's out of condition, and you know, where are they going to go with that? And
right.
And we have a tendency of, you know, we think our corn here in size of bushels, I mean, they're carrying a tremendous amount of the ending stocks in the world. So we're not talking in the same quantity that we are here in the U.S., and it's a tremendous problem for them.
Let's turn attention to South America, because do you see anything there at the moment that could have an impact?
Well, I mean, we continue to worry about weather conditions and growing conditions there. Some of the highlights that trade is talking about right now is still Argentina has got about 23 to 25% of the crop that needs to be planted yet. That could be a problem because it's too wet down there right now. There's other areas in Brazil. The northern Brazil area is a bit dry, certain areas. But from what we see down there, those weather conditions are a lot like we've seen here in the U.S. last year. The areas that are getting rain are having the potential for tremendous crops. And you've got a very small areas and pockets that are dry, and they are going to have crops that are under stress. So it looks to us that it's going to be a big crop, and from all indications, it could be bigger than what the USDA is forecasting on their December report. And as we go forward in January here, we got to look at the this January 12th report is going to be a big focus and a big happening here for agriculture prices for the year.
Quick question on fund buying. Have they been active in ag commodities this year?
Oh, yeah. They're always active in ag commodities. And they might have been less, a little more, or not quite as active as they normally have been. But I think if there's any, once we get some type of a reaction or a highlight that is impacting the market. I mean, just like we've seen in that June rally last year in soybeans, I mean, there's plenty of money on the sidelines that could come back into this thing. And there's some thought out there that if money with the stock market at 20,000 on the Dow index, that if money starts coming out of the stock market, where's it going to go? It very easily could go into the agricultural commodities, which normally would drive prices higher, and that would be good.
Every year in January, Allendale holds a special get-together to talk markets. Give me the details and how people can participate.
Well, we've got our annual Allendale Ag Outlook Conference going to be held on January 25th, or 24th, 25th, and 26th. It's all done via video, so you can log in, watch it from your own home, and at the time that you want. We're going to have Drew Lerner from World Weather, Inc. will be our key weatherman there, and that is the only segment of our conference that will not be recorded. So you're going to have to attend that live, and that's on January 24th. All the details can be found at www.allendale-inc.com.
Allendale, Allendale-inc.com.
Yep.
And we'll have that on file if people need it. One final question. Any major advice at this point in time for farmers in 2017?
Well, the advice is I think you still have to sell rallies and be willing to move this grain. And I think that's the biggest problem. And I think, as I've said, that I've said many times, there's opportunities out here that you can participate in the futures market with options, different option strategies. And we would be more than willing to share those ideas with anybody that wants to call and ask us. You can reach us at 800-262-7538, and we'd be more than happy to talk to them about it.
Thank you so much for this visit and for the many other visits throughout the year. We do appreciate it. Paul Georgie, who is the president of Allendale, based in McHenry, Illinois.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
After Paul Giorgi discussed the year in the marketplace, let's end this final broadcast of the markets for the year 2016 with a look at what happened today in trade. Soybean futures moving lower on technical selling and disappointing weekly export sales. But for the year, soybeans are up 14%. Its first yearly increase since 2012 for soybean trading, and soybean oil up about 13% for the year, soybean meal up about 18% for the year. USDA reported weekly export sales of soy meal at 251,900 tons for this year and 44,500 tons for next year. The export numbers on soybeans, 974,100 tons, below estimates for 1 million to 1.5 million tons. Wheat futures close modestly higher today. Strong weekly export sales and a softer dollar, but the market ended the year, no surprise for you wheat growers, down 13% as once again large global supply numbers are putting downward pressure on the market, particularly American wheat that continues to be priced out of the market by Egypt and that part of the world that buys a lot of wheat. So U.S. Department of Agriculture reported export sales of old crop wheat in the latest week at 568,000 tons. That's above the 200,000 to 500,000 tons traders expected. So what about the corn market? Well, corn futures modestly higher today, technical moves, but for the year, corn prices down about 2%, and that is the market's fourth consecutive yearly drop in prices in the corn market. USDA reported export sales of old crop corn in the latest week at 958,000 tons, pretty much in line with expectations. And before we leave the grain situation, particularly corn and meal, we are now concerned about outbreaks of bird flu in various parts of the world again. Not happening here in the United States, but happening in China, happening in Japan, happening in Bulgaria, Slovakia, and Germany. So not major ones as yet, but that bird flu epidemic that took 45 million birds out of circulation here in the United States last year, it's back. Let's hope that they can get it contained before we run into the same problems around the world that we had in this country. Taking a look now at the livestock trade today, live cattle futures fell sharply, reversing from an earlier 8-month high. End of the year profit taking, pressure from weaker wholesale beef prices. For the year, live cattle on a continuous chart dropped 12.4% after the worst ever annual decline of 18% in 2015. Lean hogs gained this week despite a USDA report released a week ago showing the biggest hog herd since 1943, and investors were getting out of short positions during this week's rally. And so we'll take a look at that when we take a look at where we'll be pricing commodities when we start trading again next Tuesday morning. This is where we will start. February lean hogs will start next week's 4-day trading week at $66.15 a hundredweight after gaining $1.15 today. December live cattle expired today 80 cents higher at $119. So that contract won't trade next Tuesday, but February cattle will. It'll start at a nickel over $116 per hundredweight after losing $1.97 for the week. And January feeder cattle, down $1.15 today, will start the week at $130.45 a hundredweight. Where will the grain market start? The March wheat contract will start next week at $4.08 a bushel. March corn will start the week at $3.89 a bushel. And January soybeans will start the week at $9.96 and a half a bushel. So that wraps it for the year 2016 here in Arizona. We have football fans from all over the country, and next week they'll be replaced by farmers and ranchers in town for the Farm Bureau Convention. On behalf of Max Armstrong, I'm Orion Samuelson saying thank you for joining us on The Market, sponsored by the CME Group.